Bung Bung. They're talking about war in Israel, in, you know, Tel Aviv, or, you know, between Palestine and Israel. And I don't think it's so much war as it is mass murder. It's absolutely heartbreaking, disgusting what's going on over there. And, you know, I thought about just recognizing the whole situation and giving our thoughts to victims and victims' families and Jewish people and anybody affected by the whole situation. But, you know, this may seem some level of selfish, but I think for every like we get on the YouTube clip, YouTube video of this episode, for every like that we get on the YouTube video of this full episode of Belonging to the Body podcast, episode 401, we will match that in dollars, dollar for dollar, like for like, a donation to, I don't even know who, but someone to aid this whole situation. So, you know, within reason, I'm not a millionaire. You know, let's max it out at $1,000. But if you like the episode, you're basically donating to this cause, put it that way. Look, if you don't know what's going on, the Palestinians crossed the border. They got through the, I don't even know what they call it, but it's a barricade separating the two countries. They got through it, and they're really killing men, women, children, babies. They are wording women and children, beheading babies. Okay, well, now that I've said that, you know, this episode is not even monetizable, okay? Like, but we're going to leave it in because this is what's going on. So, yeah, honestly, be aware of what's going on and do what you can. And, you know, if you don't have money to donate to specific organizations that are helping this cause, just click the like button on the show and we'll donate on your behalf. But yeah, man, it's crazy out there. If there is anyone in those regions, you know, Palestine, Israel, Armenia, you know, whatever, any close by countries that listen to this show, stay safe out there, and please don't hurt anybody. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the party. Best show on the internet. Ask anybody. You know it's easy money. Sit back, relax, get your headphones, everybody. Welcome to the party. Blackout in the booth. Every episode's a party. We go hard like Ricky Bobby. Tell a friend to tell a friend. This is Welcome to the Party.
Welcome to the party, bung bung. It's your man Claytron, aka the Big Boss Man, aka the Clumsy Jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the Milkman, because I always deliver, aka the PhD of podcasting, the Magnum PI of podcasting, the Captain, the Tupac Shakur of podcasting. And I'm sitting here with the Keith D of podcasting. Board man, what's good?
Yeah, not much, man. I was wondering how you're going to tie that one in.
Well, I'm the Tupac Shakur of podcasting because, basically, it's really thug life for me. I'm ride or die for this game, and you're the Keith D of podcasting because you're just killing it. yeah, man. I mean, we're big Tupac fans. I'm definitely a big Tupac fan. You're a fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
And this is just there's a million documentaries, you know, about Biggie and Tupac and their beef. And was it someone from Biggie's crew that killed Tupac? Was it someone, you know, the infamous fight in the, I think it was in the MGM Grand, mm-hmm. In Las Vegas. I don't know if it was even hours. I think it might have been, you know, minutes before the shooting. Was it someone from that, which it sounds like it is, which, you know, many people could have come to that conclusion. I'm sure they did, but who was it? And it was a direct relative of the person that Tupac stomped out. It was his cousin, I think.
Oh, right. There you go.
Keith D. Keith D is, what was his name, Orlando or something?
Keith D.
Do you remember?
Dwayne.
No, do you remember the guy who, was it an Orlando something that he stomped out?
Nah, couldn't tell you.
Yeah, but anyway, that guy that Tupac got in a fight with and, you know, gave a few rights and a few kicks to after a Tyson fight. And that's the beautiful thing about combat sports. You come out of there and your adrenaline and your testosterone is really flowing and you think you can do it. What's that brand that people wear that...
Tap out.
Yeah, dude. There's a lot of tap out kings out there just like thinking that they're going to make someone tap out, but they end up getting tapped out.
The irony.
It's wild, man, because I used to be quick to violence, but now I'm so scared that whoever I'll touch will just know, like...
That's the thing, man. MMA. You don't know. There's so many dudes and women out there that got hands these days. Like,
yeah.
Know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, like, self-defense was karate or taekwondo or whatever, which, like, yeah, is... If you're good at it, like, you'll beat the shit out of me. But also, the people that were doing it back then were the dweebs. Like, dude, just fucking small, like, dudes that didn't grow properly, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's like everyone that's doing martial arts or any type of combat sport is a fucking psycho already. Like, before they knew how to fight, they would probably fuck you up, you know?
Yeah, absolute weapons out there roaming these streets.
Yeah, dude. And then, like, yeah, then there's the unassuming types that all know, like, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So, like, you touch them, they'll just roll you up.
Yeah, it's good to just
stay
in your lane.
Yeah. And that's what happened to Tupac, except he didn't get... It looked like, to me, you know, there's CCTV footage of this fight. You can see it. It looks like Tupac basically wins. It was a bit of unfair advantage, it looked like. But it ended up being like an all-in brawl type of situation.
Like, unfair as in the number of people involved?
Yeah, yeah. It looked like a few people just stomping on a guy.
Yeah, okay.
But then it evened out later, but then they just sort of ran out. So, you know, you come out of a Tyson fight, you think you... Somebody, I can't even remember what happened. Maybe stepped on his shoes or something. I can't quite remember. And then that fight happened, and then he's driving down the street, and a car pulls up next to him. Pop, 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 pop. I think it was 4 shots, and then Tupac died later that night in hospital.
Yeah, crazy, man.
And so for...
How long ago was it now?
26? Was it 90?
97?
96?
It was 96.
So what's that equal? Yeah, 27 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how long ago. And that's been an unsolved mystery until maybe now.
Yeah, that's wild. I remember being in, like, early high school when that's kind of when I first started listening to Tupac.
Had a
crazy phase back then.
Like, fuck your bitch!
Yeah.
As a
13-year-old, just bumping that.
Yeah.
That was my life. But yeah, I just remember reading, like, all the conspiracy theories and learning all of his music.
Some people think he's still alive.
I did for a while.
Down in Cuba.
I read enough conspiracy.
Yeah.
I was down with that for a little while. But yeah, he was meant to come back, like, however many years later and however many days later. And then that day passed. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's when I let go.
Yeah, based on, like, album titles and song titles,
yeah,
and
all that shit.
Yeah, lyrics and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, so there's also a common belief that Diddy played a part in all this. You know, maybe organizing the hit. People also think maybe Suge Knight had something to do with it. But if this guy, Keith D, was his name Dwayne Keith Johnson? No. Dwayne Keith Davis.
Yeah, Dwayne Keith Davis. That's it.
That's a shit
got
name.
Got a quote from him here, actually. It's when he was being interviewed in August. If I wouldn't have ever met Diddy, I wouldn't have ever been involved in this bullshit, Keith D said at the time. He continued, I would have never met the brother. I never would have been involved in this bullshit.
Mm.
It really crashed two people's empires in one night, the murder suspect stated. Mine for sure, Shug's too. Diddy's the only one still bawling. He made our shit go down, man.
Wow.
Pretty heavy implication.
So, you said off mic that 50 Cent said something, made a statement like, Diddy better lawyer up.
Yeah.
I guess that's got to be based on that quote.
Yeah, it's from this same article.
Yeah, okay. Wow, dude. Can you imagine? Diddy goes down for the murder of Tupac or like conspiracy.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They better not leave this Keith D guy alone in a cell.
Yeah, he might get that Epstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diddy's got way too much to lose.
And he's
doing his run in his mouth.
And he really is the, if there's a Clinton family in hip hop, it's the Diddy family. It's the Coombs. They've got a friggin' body count and laptops and all that shit. Shout out to Diddy, man. You know, I'm just kidding. Oh shit, now I'm on a hit list. Yeah, so that's really the second hottest news this week. Obviously, before the intro, we had that news. We're not going to touch on that again. It's too depressing. This is a comedy and movie podcast. So no, we're not going to go there. Nothing happened for either of us this week?
No, another quiet one, man.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, just being, yeah, whatever. It's fucking podcast. Yeah. Not going to Oh, I've been cooking, bro. I've been cooking.
Yeah, what you've been cooking up?
I cooked up a burgundy beef stew with chive and horseradish dumplings.
Yeah, that's cultured, dude.
Yeah. that was delicious. So, yeah, clean the kitchen. I just don't have the kitchen for it right now. It's small. You can't put cameras up. You can't really. It's not aesthetically pleasing. It's too old. If I do clean the kitchen, I'll probably have to do it at mum's house or your house. You got a nice kitchen. But I got to bring it back because I'm in cooking.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to come cook us dinner, you're more than welcome.
You've been grilling, barbecuing.
Yeah, I've been doing a bit of that.
Yeah,
pretty useless in the kitchen, but don't mind. Don't mind grilling.
Yeah. Air frying? You've been air frying?
Not this week, but yes, have been. Probably like once a week.
I remember it was a while back, but we had air fried like squid at your place. Like out of a box, like crumbed squid.
Yeah.
Lit. And I still think about it from time to time.
Shit's so good, man.
Yeah.
Just love how easy it is.
Yeah, man. I would get one, but I don't have space in my tiny kitchen.
For the air fryer?
Yeah. Even the SodaStream, shout out to SodaStream, is like really difficult to store in my kitchen.
Prime real estate on that bench.
Yeah, man. It's so tall, man. It's like 6'6". I don't know what I was doing before SodaStream, bro.
Oh, I couldn't live without it now.
Like, shout out to SodaStream. Yeah, I do not know who I was before it. I don't know how I was getting by. It's unreal. Sponsor the show.
Do you roll with the spare cylinder?
Yeah.
Have to.
And then
straight away when the first one goes out, you got to replace it.
Yeah, replace it, and then you take the other one back and get the discount on the next one.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a little bit inconvenient, but
it is. I remember at first when I first got it, I was only rolling with one cylinder and just felt so poor every time it ran out.
Yeah.
I had to go back to like peasant tap water.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, nah, you gotta double up on the sillies.
Yeah.
I think I was a single cylinder man at the start.
Well, you don't know any better when you first get in.
Yeah,
the game,
yeah. Virgin, man. Virgin. Anyway, let's do it.
Comedy, action, horror. Will this movie win an Oscar? set design, directing, acting like Tinger costumes. This segment is Clay's Reviews.
It was my pick this week, and I picked an Australian horror, The Babadook. Many people think of Australian horror, they think of Wolf Creek. And I've seen Wolf Creek. I haven't seen Wolf Creek 2, but I've been. I drove my car when I played for Townsville. I flew up because it was short notice, right? It was basically the day I was supposed to sign with Adelaide and they effed me in my A. Made some calls and Sean Dennis, coach of Townsville, ended up giving me a call and was like, well, do you want to come here? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, can you get here tomorrow? So I was on a plane the next morning up to Townsville. So Carlos, and at Christmas time, when you're like, it's pretty much the only time you get off during the season, and it's like a day or two, I flew down to Adelaide, got in my car and drove back up. And it's supposed to take 3 days, that drive. It's 36 hours. I did it in 2 days and it took me 34 hours. And the first...
Is this just a combination of like not sleeping and speeding?
So much speeding.
Yeah.
There were periods of straight road that during the day, like you could see so far. That there, I know you're in the middle of the country. Like, there's nothing out there. So there's no cars. It's definitely risky if like a kangaroo jumps out. But you can see for miles that there's no cars coming. So I was flooring it, and I was in a VT Commodore at the time, and I got her up to about 220, I reckon.
Lion, bro.
Moving. Yeah. Moving. Anyway, the first night, the only night that I stopped, I went to this caravan park. And I didn't know where I was going to stop. I was just like, I kind of want to stop when it gets dark. So I was just going and I get to this place. And then you find out that even in the middle of the country, you basically need a book if you want to stay anywhere. I couldn't get a place anywhere. I go, it's like... It's not that late. That time of year, they don't have daylight savings, I don't think, in Queensland.
Sorry, this was like Christmas time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe 8 o'clock it gets dark, 7:30, 8 o'clock. I think I was in Queensland by that time. Maybe like to the very north of New South. I can't remember the town I stopped in, but there was no one in the office at the caravan park. And I'm like trying to figure it. Anyway, I somehow got a hold of somebody. I think they had like a phone number that you could call. They gave me a key to like a cabin. And bro, this cabin, the lights are just flickering the whole time. There's like, and doing that zzz, like buzzing sound. There's bugs. There's fucking massive bugs everywhere. I literally didn't sleep a wink. I may as well have slept in my car on the side of the road and not paid any money because I was so scared of, like, I was like, this is Wolf Creek. I'm going to die tonight. And then I was like, I can't stop anywhere else.
Were there many people at this? So it was a caravan park with cabins?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were there many other people there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually I feel that like the safety in numbers sort of thing. You weren't feeling it that night?
No, I was feeling like maybe I'd get killed and strung up and they'd all be in on it. Like I was right. Not feeling okay. The vibe at all. Oh, I hated it, man. I hated it so much. I was in the shower. I was scared because like they have the toilet blocks. And again, flickering light bulbs and shit. And I'm showering because I've just been in the car like sweating all day. And someone came in and I'm like, I'm so scared. So scared, bro. But nothing happened. I didn't have, you know, I'm in a place with no reception and shit as well. It was just like, God.
Yeah.
So my plan of 3 days, as soon as it happened, I was like, nah, I'm getting to Townsville today. But that would be my story if we watched Wolf Creek, but we didn't. We watched The Babadook.
A single mother and her child fall into a deep well of paranoia when an eerie children's book titled Mr. Babadook manifests in their home.
This kid was, I think he was already, they didn't set it up, I don't think, properly. Had the kid already read the book before the mum started reading it to him? Because it seemed like he was already having nightmarish sleep issues.
I don't think he'd read the book.
But he was just
away from it. He was already like having issues though.
Yeah. Then they read this book. The mum's like, Jesus, this is fucking hectic. She's like, no, 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 we're not going to read this. The kid's having like a full fit, like screaming.
At the end of it.
Of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she basically puts him to bed and then goes downstairs, rips up all the pages, chucks it in the bin. And I don't know if this...
Did she do it that night or was that the following night?
I think it was the following day maybe, following morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because she hid it. She hid it first. Yeah,
she put it on like the top shelf out of sight.
And then she saw it. It moved? The kid got it again or...
Yeah, I can't remember. Or he just kept talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, this kid was obsessed with this Babadook. Babadook. I had to watch this movie because I watched it in bed and Rach doesn't watch horror movies. So I had to watch this with headphones on. And shout out to Film Australia and whoever directed or, you know, the filmmaker, creator, sound designer. The sound design in this film, which I was not expecting, I think the budget for this film was $2 million, which for something shot in Adelaide just seems massive, but $2 million to make a film is literally fuck all.
We'll get to that. I've got some commentary on that.
But. Okay. Yeah, the sound, dude. I'm sitting there with these headphones on, and it felt like the Babadook was whispering to me, man. I couldn't take it. Right. I was getting like goosebumps and shit.
I got goosebumps a few times, so I was watching this one by myself. Same issue.
Yeah,
and I didn't want to borrow it. So. Yeah, just me and the dog on the couch.
Yeah.
Fuck, there were some creepy scenes in this, but I think just the sound.
Yeah.
Like, I think, yeah.
Yeah, the sounds were hectic. I honestly thought maybe the scariest part of the film was when the mother became sleep deprived, just the way she was talking to the kid.
Oh, dude, that was nuts.
Oh, the one quote was the kid was like hungry and she was ignoring him because she was so tired. And she turns around and she goes, well, if you're so hungry, why don't you go eat shit? And I was like, what in the white woman is going on here? Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. Oh, I don't know. I thought that was like, that probably jarred me more than the actual Babadook.
Do you remember the other quote from her? I had two quotes from her written down, the one you just said.
Okay, hit me.
This one's later in the film when shit starts getting a bit tense, but she yells out, sometimes I just want to smash your head against a brick wall until your fucking brains pop out. Like a mother saying that to her six-year-old son.
I've
never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I do remember that. And I don't know, it must have been too deep in the movie or something because like it didn't hit me like the other one did for some reason, even though it's way more hectic.
So I know what you're saying though. That first one, I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, what?
I thought she was just going to tell me to be quiet, but told the little cunt to go eat shit. That's fucking crazy.
Shit, dude. The other crazy level of disrespect, like from the sister.
Which part? She was pretty disrespectful all around.
Like before her daughter even got hurt. Like she was just like, yeah, I don't want to hang out at your house. Your kid's weird. It was like, what the fuck? Just nuts. And I get it because kids are mad annoying except mine. But
this kid, though, he was grinding my gears at the start.
Oh, yeah, and screaming and shit all the time. And I get it, but I don't know. That's your sister, though.
Yeah. That's your nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out there, the relationships were hectic. The one relationship I didn't really understand was with the neighbor.
Yeah, just friendly, lonely old neighbor.
It just felt like they were trying to make her relevant, but then they just like quit with like her development. They made a point of making sure they said, like, she mentioned that she knew the woman's husband. She was like, oh, he was just like that. And it's like, well, was she her mother? Was she his mother? Or they did, like, were they neighbors the entire time?
I think just like long-term neighbor was the vibe I got from that.
I just thought it was, they were really trying to like make her relevant. And then like at the end of the day, if she wasn't in the film, it wouldn't have changed it at all.
Yeah. I'm just, now that you say that, I'm just trying to think like, and I don't think we saw this in the film. Maybe I'm just making shit up, but like, did the dad grow up there maybe? Is that why she knew him so well? Like with his family, and then he just inherited the family home, perhaps.
Oh, right.
Because that basement looked pretty well established with all this shit down there. Looked like years and years worth of accumulation.
Yeah.
And they would have been a pretty young couple.
Yeah.
Because she talked about him like she'd known him since he was a kid.
Right. But even that level of detail adds nothing to the film.
Yeah. And that was all just speculation too, because I don't think we ever got told that in the film.
Yeah, it's but like leaving that up to the interpretation of the viewer, like why?
So you can keep this runtime down to a minute 30, sorry, hour 34, yeah. I think.
Yeah, and like
which
I liked.
That was good.
A 90-minute film is the chef's kiss of film times. Now, what did you want to say about the budget?
Overall, like, not to do a summary, but I thought this was a pretty good film.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it, and like I was getting caught up in some of the scenes, but just some of the special effects let it down. Just when I felt like I'd needed to be at my most scared, I saw some bullshit special effects and everything just went back to normal
for me. Do you have an example?
I think she was laying in bed and like the Babadook or whatever got up
on the ceiling.
Yeah. And it just looked like someone had done it in like a year 12 media class.
Yeah, so yeah.
I just checked out at that point.
Yeah, but I didn't. It's hard to do like a psychological sort of like a
figment of the imagination.
Yeah, it's hard to do that with a low budget film. Because you need CGI to like level up.
But I just thought the parts where they were like alluding to something being there and not necessarily showing it on the screen, they were like just as powerful in this movie.
Yeah. I think even like when it was more shadows, like when she was in the police station, looked over the cop's shoulder and she saw first it was just a hat and a coat hanging, and then she like it became like a dark figure with like those big long fingers or whatever.
Gloves, yeah.
Yeah. That looked way better than whatever they did on the ceiling there. And then that thing at the very end, or the climax of the film, in the bedroom.
Sorry, what happened?
It grew massive and she started screaming at it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like that just was nothing really.
Yeah. Didn't need it.
Yeah.
What'd you have for a snack in this film?
Oh, yes. So I had these fucking like raspberry twisties.
I haven't even seen them. What were they like? Were they actually like pink?
Yeah, they were kind of like, the base was kind of like the chicken twisty color, like yellow.
Like yellow inside.
I didn't see the inside. I was chucking them in the throat, yeah, but they just like looked speckled.
But so what color were they? They were yellow, like chicken twisties.
Like pale yellow with speckled pink on them, like flavor.
Yeah, right. So like, I don't know, it just sounds like twisties with a disease or something.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. But not the level of flavor that like a Dorito has. Like, it's not like a full coating. It's just, it looked like, speckled, like almost like, you know, when the end of a spray paint?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that.
Hate that.
Yeah. They weren't good, but they weren't as bad as I was expecting either.
If If they went harder with the red flavoring, do you think they would have been better?
I don't know. Raspberry's really for candy and not for chips. Mm. I also had Cadbury Dream Bites, and they were like raspberry. And I basically got raspberry because it's Shocktober and we're doing horror films and blood is why I was getting raspberry stuff. And I got Dream because I knew this was about like nightmares, and what may end up happening is that I have nightmares about these twisties.
Yeah, okay. So I won't be trying those anytime soon then.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be recommending just having them to have them. It's more of a novelty situation.
Okay.
What do you snack on?
I had choc chip cookies.
Yeah.
Bit of a reach, but choc chip cookies, babadookies.
Cookies, babadookies. Okay, yeah. Nah, not too much of a reach.
That's probably the closest I've been to being on theme for about a month or so now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Baby steps.
Now, I think I want to touch on the ending.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. Okay, they both survive, first off. Not good enough. And two, did they fucking make the thing a pet?
Yeah, they did. They did. They feed it every day. Well, the mum feeds it. The kid's not allowed to go down there.
So was it like a paying homage to that creepy version of Bart in The Simpsons that eats...
Maybe in a way. Because what did it said something about it in the book, though. It was like, the more you deny me, the realer I become. Something along those lines.
Like the
stronger I get, or something like that. So, like, her just, like, laying under her sheets at night pretending it wasn't there just made this thing more intense and stronger. So, her, like, the way I interpreted the ending was she was acknowledging it and just being at peace with the fact that it's a real thing, and as long as she acknowledges it every day, then it won't fuck with her at night.
Wow, bro.
Thanks, man.
Oh, I completely missed that, but yes.
Do you remember that part in the book, though?
Now I do.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't put two and two together because I'm an idiot. Yes, that's okay. Well, that makes more sense because I was like, that's the dumbest shit ever. But now that's like kind of a dope ending.
Yeah, because I don't know. I got the feeling that it didn't look like they were in the position to even be moving house.
But it turned me.
But even if they did move house, like it still would have gone with them.
So sort
of thing. This thing wasn't going away.
So this wasn't a haunted house. This was more of a...
just like an actual haunting of people.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's that fucking word when like a something takes over your body? Like
fuck everyone.
And they need to do an exorcism.
Oh dude, I feel fucking
stupid. It's such a fucking easy word too. Fuck. Oh, I'll figure it out.
Possessed,
dude. Fuck.
Yeah, can you just clip that shit out?
I think I have to, because otherwise we're going to like fucking lose listeners, followers. So filmed in Adelaide.
Yeah, did you recognise the area at all?
I couldn't recognise it, but I looked it up and it was filmed in Glenside.
Fitting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I noticed a Mr. Michael Gilmore in this movie. Do you know Michael Gilmore?
Nah.
He was in my year at school.
That name rings a bell.
And he was the cop in the background that snickered.
Oh, right. Okay, I'm going to have to watch that scene again.
Yeah.
Because I think I know who you're talking
about. So that was blurry, and I still... I said to Rach, that's Michael Gilmore.
Did you like check the credits and everything?
No, because they clipped a quick snippet of them in focus like a few seconds later. And I was like, that is fucking Michael Gilmore. And so shout out to Michael Gilmore, man. Brighton High, 2007. Class of 2007.
Yeah, there you go. Michael Gilmore, young policeman.
Yeah. And I recognise one more person in this film. This is Adelaide for you. Stephen Sheehan, who played the magician on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's a, I don't know, I think he's a comedian or a magic actor. I don't know what he is, but yeah. He's in the film. He's in the Babadook, and he's in the scene. So, yeah, full Adelaide vibes. Because it was in Adelaide, it made me think, and filmed in Glenside, it made me think of our time at the Julia Farr Centre.
Man, what a time to be alive.
And if you don't know what the Julia Farr Centre is, it's been demolished and rebuilt as something else now. But it was a old mental institution or psychiatric hospital, and it became what is it when people aren't in it?
Abandoned.
It became abandoned, and it was very common for teenagers to go there and, like, you know, get scared as a group.
Yeah,
and we went there one time. We took flashlights and we went in there. And I didn't get deep in there at all. I was like, hey, guess what, guys? I'm going back to the car. Someone came with me. Was it you? No, it was Marcus, I reckon. I reckon me and Marcus turned around.
Who else was in there then?
You and Nate and maybe one more person. Sam, maybe?
Xiao?
Can't remember.
I feel like Xiao went with us one time.
I only went once, so maybe.
Okay. Oh, I went a few times, but then, like, the final time we got cornered in by the cops just before we were about to actually go in.
Oh, okay.
They were waiting down, like, this dead-end street.
Yeah.
Took all our IDs and just gave us a warning. If you come back, you're going to be in trouble. So yeah, that was it for the Julia Farr Center for us.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that place was creepy, dude.
Yeah, and I heard like, junkies and stuff would live there, which, like, would make sense. Like, it's shelter. But I also know somebody who is in the trade game in terms of, like, they're a seller in terms of they go on eBay and they buy stuff that they know is more valuable, so they flip it.
Mm-hmm.
They go to garage sales and they find stuff that they know the owner doesn't know is valuable, so they're like, here's $20, flip it for $8,000 or whatever. And they know, they do all their research and they know what stuff's worth. And this isn't a huge pickup, but they would go to the Julia Farr Center and steal copper wire. And go and sell copper wire from the Julia Farr Center. So, I think that's funny. And that's just some knowledge I've recently, probably in the last 2 months, come into. So
someone you know used to do that?
Someone I know's brother used to do
that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. That's fucking, that's gang shit. So, like I said before, $2 million budget. It grossed $10.5 million worldwide.
Say that.
Yeah. That's pretty good. I think opening weekend was almost nothing. But
before you told me to watch this, how long had you known about this movie for? Like, do you remember it coming out?
I didn't remember it coming out. So it came out in 2014. I can probably pinpoint the year I found out about it. I think I found out about it in 2016 because I know who told me about it, my ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah. And I never watched it until now on the Welcome to the Potty podcast. And, yeah, so it made some serious bread, and it's an Adelaide film, so shout out to Adelaide. I'm into that. What did you rate it?
I gave this one a 7. Pretty generic rating, but yeah, I enjoyed it, man.
I'm going to have to give it a 7.5. Especially after now understanding the ending.
What was it before you understood the
ending? It was probably a 7.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, 7.5. I'm sticking with 7.5. See it. Yeah, if you're looking for some Shocktober films, you haven't seen The Babadook, support South Australian film and go see it, because, yeah, it's worth a watch for sure. You know what it is. It's the Welcome to the Potty podcast. Welcome to the Potty on everything. Share the show. Go back to the start of the show and listen to the message about sharing the show and liking the episode on YouTube. But even when it's not for a cause, please like everything, share everything, so you can boost our algorithm, boost our listener base, and boost our pockets, really. Love you guys. Don't forget to love yourselves. And as always, bung bung.